listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for Get Yourself a Job here on LA Talk Radio with myself, Jennifer K. Hill, and my dear friend and co-host, Brandon Maslin. We're going to introduce you to our fabulous guest here in a moment. Though, for those of you who might be tuning in for the first time, I wanted to give a bit of a context for what this show is about. We began in April of 2016, and the show started off with a lot of general tips, interview tips, resume writing tips. And over the last several years, it's really evolved into embracing your purpose. How do we not just have a job, but how do we upgrade that to a career and maybe even a purpose? And today we're really going to touch on that, sometimes what to do if we get stuck or how we can really break through those areas where maybe we're limited in our career. Now, the people who bring this show to you every week are our incredible sponsors, the people over at Markham Search, LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and they offer temporary services, payrolling services, executive search, so definitely keep them in mind for any of your needs. And so today, you know, let's talk about it, Brandon. Let's have you introduce our fabulous guest, Kelly, and talk about, am I living the career I want to be living? And maybe there's areas we are stuck, and let's just deep dive into this. So I toss it over to you, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. And a wonderful description of what our show is and what it evolves to. Obviously, it is about helping you find that first job and get that first big job, but it's also certainly focused on how to evolve in one's career and become an incredible leader. And that's a perfect segue because that is what Kelly has done hundreds, if not thousands of times in just the 3 years or so I've known her. Kelly is a guide, a coach, a teacher, a mentor, a friend. Just she's one of the most truly amazing human beings I've ever met. And I don't say that lightly. I say that amongst the hundreds of coaches I've met. I say that amongst the hundreds of people who do some version of L&D. Kelly is truly elite, if not the best in the world.
Right, so, back at you, Brandon.
So Kelly is, and I connected originally through Advancing Women Executives, where I worked for 6 years and Kelly worked for about three, give or take. And Kelly came on. I used to coach the entire country from East Coast to West Coast for all of the VP or above leaders who were part of Advancing Women Executives. Kelly then took over and exceptionally well, most of the membership base in New York and in Chicago. Kelly, in that time, helped countless people find their purpose, their mission, get the dream jobs, leave the jobs that weren't serving them to find the jobs that were, get on the boards, and a host of other things. She now just got a new job. I'm going to have her tell you about it a little bit more in depth, but I know it's certainly in L&D. I've had the pleasure of not just listening to Kelly coach, but watch her deliver amazing content. And I could go on and on, but I'll tell you this. When I'm struggling in my life and in my career, Kelly is always, without doubt, one of the first people I've called. So, Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Absolutely.
Anything I missed? Anything else people should know about you?
No, I want to do this every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I think, with that kind of an introduction. I really appreciate it. And honestly, it's been such a true partnership with Brandon over the course of the last several years, like he said, meeting one another at AWE, Advancing Women Executives. I recently joined Alumni Ventures, which is a venture capital firm based actually in Manchester, New Hampshire, but we're located in New York, Boston, Chicago, Austin, and San Francisco. And I'm tasked with building out their learning and development function. So they're in the business of disrupting venture capital. They're a co-investor and very much looking at, you know, now that they've come on the scene and are one of the most active venture firms in the US, according to PitchBook, what do we do to make sure we're growing individuals who, you know, are ambitious, highly educated, fired up, committed to disrupting businesses and making the world a better place. So heading up their L&D function in their on their people and culture team.
Boom. So making the world a better place. I think that is what you do. So Jennifer and I were talking about before what we're going to talk about on the show. And Kelly, I know, and you and I connected. And what's popping up for me is Jennifer and I were discussing was, and Sam, the person who helps produce the show for LA Talk Radio, we're talking about was, it's a time where a lot of people are feeling out of control, not in control of their lives, not in control of their circumstances. And it's just this ongoing perpetuation of COVID and careers, and it's affecting a lot of us. And so one of the things that I saw when we spoke was, I wrote down, was taking charge of our career. The idea that we can take charge of anything right now feels amazing, because there's so many things that are not, that we're not in charge of, right? There's so many governmental pressures, or so many things that are just outside of our scope. Jennifer, I see you nodding your head because I know you're going through something. Before I turn over to Kelly, what are your thoughts on that? That feeling of uncontrol and taking charge.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I mean, it's an interesting time, whether you're an employee and you're looking to elevate yourself in your career, or maybe you're a leader and you're trying to figure out, how do I lead a team? How do I lead a team that's part remote, part not? I think that we're all kind of in a constant state of fight or flight. Fight or flight, or actually, you know what? I'm going to throw in a third one, flow. So those are our three options, people. We have fight, flight, and flow. I am doing my darndest. I don't know about you, Kelly, Brandon. I am doing my darndest to tap into that flow and just be like, and love, we surrender and we let go. And then, and then it's kind of like a roller coaster ride. It's like, oh, the wind is in my face and it's beautiful. And look at the view from up here. Sorry to anybody listening.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's such a good analogy. I'm feeling like I'm on a roller coaster, but it just keeps on breaking down, like right at like the, like that's how I feel lately. I'm just like, come on, just come on, ride.
Oh, let's so it keeps it down.
I feel like I'm stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd love to tap into Kelly's wisdom on this, because that's why we do this. You know, we really want to tap into kind of the consciousness that all of us are going to through. You know, one thing we've learned in the last year and a half since this pandemic began is that we're not a bunch of individuals living individual lives. Each one of us are like these little, as my friend Teresa Collins says, islands of coherence, and we're just kind of popping up and bumping into each other. And so in the business world, Kelly, how do we take charge back when we feel like we're stuck on the top of a precipice and have hundreds of feet to fall down, and we don't know if the ride's going to go forwards, backwards, or if we're ever going to move again? How do we begin to take charge of our careers rather than resisting and resenting exactly where we're at on the roller coaster?
Oh, I love the question. And I think, you know, it's not like it's new advice, taking charge of your career. You know, you talk to any executive out there, and oftentimes they'll allude to some version of that, wherever you are, whether it's in the heels of a global pandemic or all of the things that we've been facing this year. But I think right now at this point in time, it is an interesting moment. And I, you know, I think I heard you on one of the previous podcasts talk about sort of this idea that we can take more charge than we realize. We can make more change than we realize sometimes in our current sets of environments. So, you know, for me, I think, you know, it is kind of starting with that question. Am I living the career I want to be living? I'm finding in my coaching practice that a lot of people who've sort of been on a path are asking themselves, am I contributing to the world in a way that does make positive impact? Is the business that I'm supporting one that is being intentional about how we treat people, how we treat one another? I'm very curious about these islands of, was it coherence? You'll have to kind of riff on that a little bit. But, you know, I think there's a couple things people can do. I think one, they can get out of their heads a little bit and just have sort of these human conversations at work. You know, one of my favorite resources is Molly West Duffy's and Liz Fosling's book, No Hard Feelings, which is about bringing emotions into the workplace. And, you know, whether or not you think they belong in the workplace, they're there, and they're especially there right now. So I think as managers and leaders of teams, it's our responsibility to actually have kind of and toe that line between personal and professional. People are having a lot of thoughts right now about, okay, fine, we're coming back into a hybrid environment. Can I still admit that I have kids at home? Can I still admit that I have childcare? Can I still admit that those are priorities for me? Can I admit that I'm taking care of older parents, that I have actually gotten really used to having my mornings to myself, and that makes me a better, more productive, in my case, investor, right? And so I think it's one, you know, having the conversation, not being afraid of the emotions. I think two, a lot of us, just by nature of this last year, have been introduced to other parts of our own strengths and skill sets. And so maybe we've been on an XYZ team, a functional team for so long, but just because of the nature of the crisis, we all of a sudden found ourselves working in product or working in operations or working in people and culture or whatever it was. And we found a real love for that. So to sort of harness what those things are and start having conversations with the people who you did that work with and try to get back to it. So I think there, it is a time for audit, right? Sort of self audit. What did I do in the last year that I really loved? What made me feel like I was in that flow? I would add a 4F, which is freeze. I think some people are in a freeze state right now and feeling really stuck. And so your advice on the flow is really important. I think a self audit can help us get out of that freeze and into the flow, get out of that fight or get out of that flight and say, what did I do this last year? You know, what is, how do I kind of map that against some of the things I'm really excited about? And then, you know, it's the power of those risky conversations, which Brandon and I have talked a lot about over the last few years. So I'll pause there. I just threw a lot at you, but those are some of the things I've been thinking about.
Yeah, Kelly, so beautiful. I love it. So apropos that you brought up bringing the emotions and allowing those emotions to be in the workplace. In fact, we're devoting the month of August of this year to EQ and how do we elevate our own EQ and support, you know, the emotional intelligence of those around us. And it makes me think yesterday I was interviewing a thought leader named Miranda McPherson. And we were talking about how many of us go through anger. I don't know about anybody else out there. Maybe you're just like, I'm angry. Not that much, because we're not going to admit that much. You can't see, you can only hear my hands were outstretched. We're just going to say like a little tiny, tiny, un petit peu, as the French would say, a little bit angry. And I loved what Miranda said. And I think this is something that we don't give ourselves permission to do. We don't give ourselves permission to feel. As human beings, and especially in the workplace, I think that we all have these emotions erupting from us, fear, scarcity, uncertainty, whatever it might be, happiness. Yeah. Some people might be very happy. And yet we don't give ourselves permission to experience that. And at least in Western culture and certain other cultures around the world, it's that, oh, I had a feeling. What do I do to get rid of it? Let's
yes.
Let's get back to being productive. And I think that that's an, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, I would love your wisdom on this. I think that perhaps that's an antiquated way of interacting with first and foremost ourselves, and then really equally any of our team members, whether it's a colleague or somebody who we're, you know, looking up to, or even somebody who we're leading in a team. So what is your advice, Kelly? Do you have any advice on how we can bring awareness to that? And that way, that will, to your point, allow us to self-audit and to be able to kind of break through for those people who are kind of like stuck right now and just like, oh, what do I do? How do I break through this? What is your wisdom on that, Kelly?
Well, I think I love what you're kind of talking about is checking in, right? Our bodies respond to what's going on. Like there's a reason, you know, we get tense, or, you know, for me, it's my voice. I always lose my voice. I'll choke. I won't remember to breathe, even though as humans we're designed to breathe. But I think it is to check on that emotion, right? What is the emotion I'm having right now? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it scarcity? Is it, you know, is it joy? Is it, do I even know? So many of us have been running kind of on autopilot the last 16 months, like more and more, faster, faster, faster. And so I think one, sort of checking in on that, you know, I think two, you know, giving yourself a minute to have the reaction, like it's never going to go away, right? It's sort of, it's going to happen one way or another. And then using that reaction to sort of have that be your momentum and motivation for the conversation, whether it's a risky conversation, whether it's telling someone, you know, I love what I've been doing, but I'm actually looking for the next thing, and knowing that the people around us are, odds are, unless you're in a particularly toxic place, right? People do want to get you to the next, whether that's internal to where you are or whether that's beyond where you are. And so allowing and listening for some of that emotion, you know, I would go so far as to track it. You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, who said it, right? Like if I wake up too many days and the answer is no, right? I think it was Steve Jobs. You know, I don't love what I'm doing. You know, what is that, right? What is my body? What is my brain, my heart, my soul trying to say to me? And then let's use the power of the people around you to get you to the next thing. I think most people want, as much as they hate to see you go, you know, want to see you succeed. Brandon, please, I know you and I have talked about this endlessly. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
No, it's fun to hear you guys talk. I love it. It's inspiring and it's engaging. I have so many thoughts on everything you two just said. And I think to your point, a lot of what you and I talked about, Kelly, one thing, Jennifer, what you said about fear and anger, right? I was watching, been rewatching Star Wars with my daughter. And, you know, to quote the ultimate Buddha, at least in that universe, you know, fear will lead to anger, anger leads to hate. And I think we so often go straight to hate, or I hate this person, or I can't stand this, or I, but without realizing just, you know, maybe we're afraid, and maybe we're, is try to understand where they're scared, where are they afraid? Because I'm not saying that it will make you like them better or should accept the bad behavior more, but it'll help you not personalize as much if you just understand where they're just acting out of fear. Kelly, you and I had a great coaching thing about 2 years ago where we were both really angry on the same day about same thing, more or less. And you said to me, Brandon, I've just been, you know, you were breaking down in tears. Mm-hmm. And crying. And I said, Kelly, why are you so sad? And she goes, I just want to get that angry. I get sad. I start crying. And I said, that's weird. When I get angry, I just get furious and I can't see. I literally can't think. It's all I can do. I'm just mad. And we did this thing where for 1 week, I committed you to being angry when you were angry. And I committed to actually being sad. And it changed in a way my life because it allowed me, especially for what we were going through, you know, in careers or life, and help me go, that's so sad that person's acting that way. That's so sad that that's happening. That's sad to me. And it allowed me to take away the power, at least in that case, that the situation was holding over me. And I think when you took on anger as just like, I'm allowed to be angry, it empowered you to be like, I am angry, you know? Right. And then lastly, full circle, back to what we talked about career. I saw 5 of my clients get big jobs this year. And I mean by big jobs, I mean they're C-suite, chief human resource officer, general counsel, et cetera, from where they were, or totally do 180 pivots, like absolute pivots. And Jennifer and Kelly, you both alluded to this, they did not do it alone. They had the courage and the fortitude to say, this is what I want, and to express it clearly. And what happens is people think that they're going to be doing us favors. But what really happens is people realize that if I put this leader, this individual, or if I even give you your first job, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because you're going to help me. It's not about being helped. It's about putting yourself in a position where you can help others. My biggest fear, my biggest pain comes when I can't help people because it just isolates me and it hurts. I'm at my happiest when I'm in service. And I think the best leaders in this next iteration after what we've been through are going to be servant leaders, like my friend Jill Stelfox, who just posted something about this today. It's like, you gotta be a servant leader. You gotta be in service to others. Because if not, you're only for yourself. And I think if we discovered anything in the last year, being only for yourself is not gonna be the future of business. That was my stump. I don't have anything else like that. I ran out of gas.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I love how we're evolving. I just wanted to tie in something that I thought might be relevant, and I want to do a shout out for it. I was talking to a young woman entrepreneur. I think I mentioned her a couple of shows ago, and I just love that in this world that we're living in, there is no reason to be stuck. I remember I'm sitting here. I have a new startup, and I'm part of a group called the Founders Network. And so I think it was literally right before our show a couple of weeks ago. And I was just like, oh, I'll pop in for 20 minutes and be in the background and, you know, whatever. And it turns out there's 3 of us on the call, one of whom is a young woman who is in her undergrad and launching her first company. So I say this for 2 reasons. One is that I don't care if you're 22 or 72. There is no reason to be stuck. There is no reason to say, I can, it's hard, et cetera. There is always a way if you're willing to ask for the support that Brandon just mentioned that allows people to get to that C-suite to, you know, have what they call in the startup world a unicorn billion-dollar company. And the only thing that really stops us to take it back full circle is the emotions. And I love what this young woman, Lee, is working on is a project called Monologue that I think is launching next week. And it's so cool. They're basically taking audio journaling and helping people to see the things you can't see for yourself of maybe where are the things that maybe you don't even realize you're struggling mentally, emotionally, and then kind of using your audio or text journal. And I just thought,
I love that.
Oh my God, she is. I just want to be her when I grow up. I'm like, I just love that she's doing that. And I tie that into today's episode because we're talking about emotions as we go into this, you know, month we're going to spend on EQ. And we're talking a lot today about how we might get stuck. The number one reason we get stuck is that thing we can't see. And that's what our friends are for. That's what our colleagues are for. That's where that internal audit that Kelly so beautifully suggested beginning in the show that she mentioned is, how do we allow ourselves to receive it? There's a concept that I learned from a thought leader named Alison Armstrong, and it's called positive resistance. And the other day I was on a call with a colleague, and I totally disagreed. Have you ever had that where you're on a call with a colleague and one person A is here and person B is diametrically opposed? And the greatest thing that can happen is when you have that tension, that pressurized positive resistance, where somebody is going to maybe push you outside your comfort zone. To me personally, that's a great way to get unstuck, is to look for those moments of that tension, that resistance, that roller coaster that's right on the precipice of going over, but there's almost that resistance to allowing it to just really take off. And so Kelly, being in your new line of work, you know, working with entrepreneurs, being in the VC world, how do you identify that? Like, what is it and how do you support? You started off today talking about how your company and the reason you joined them is all about supporting the individuals. How do we do that? What can we do to do that for ourselves and for one another so that way we can all be better for it?
No, there's so many places to go. I love that. That tension is always such an interesting place. One of my favorite bosses of all time, when I worked actually in the arts, he and I would like disagree so much, like literally down to like the font colors. And we kind of came up with this concept of loyal opposition, that we would be in support of one another, even though our ideas were opposing. And we always ended up getting to this like beautiful solution. And I think about that all the time, sort of. So when I think about, you know, in my current work, you know, working with sort of high achieving, ambitious, highly intelligent people who are so committed to change and disruption, you know, it's, you know, oftentimes, you know, as the people in culture voice or as learning and development voice, there is some resistance, right? You can't put me in a box. You can't put me on a particular career pathway. You know, I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened to, you know, VC. And I love the idea of like using that to our advantage versus having that be a resistance, right? For me as the L&D professional, right, to shut down in that moment because this person, you know, thinks they're the greatest, smartest person in the room. But to use that, right? Like, what can I do in that moment to use that as motivation, to play on that person's strengths? Like, what did you get that? If you are that, right, what can we draw on to help you involve those around you and bring other people up to elevate your particular fund or your particular team or your, or the organization, the firm as a whole? So I think sometimes those things that kind of irk us, I know for me, you know, is like, okay, but how can I use this, right? How can I use this to better you, to better me, versus, you know, some of my more defaults sometimes when I'm tired or angry, right? Or sad, where it's like, ah, I don't even want to engage in the conversation. I often will ask myself, you know, how can I use this? A writer that I worked with a long time ago, like, you know, it's all compost, right? Like it all can help earth, you know, build and grow. And, you know, as you plant those things, allow that to be in there too, right? It's not only working if we all agree. Please.
Oh, that's just so good, Kelly, because that's such a good analogy of why so many of us are going through this. What can I do next? What can I do more of? I think we've all had a lot of compost. We've all had a lot of stuff. and so I think that makes sense, that it's actually why it's kicking up a lot of growth. Is that it's been a lot going on.
So I think so. I mean, so please go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just wondering how people, and maybe I'm asking for myself, but I've seen this a lot from my clients. I mean, I'm certainly better, as all of us are in life, that which we do for others, we struggle to do for ourselves, universal truth. I'm wondering what we can do to help people figure out how to use all this compost and stuff that's happened, and how to use that as fertilizer or abilities to grow in our careers.
No, it's such a great question. I mean, I'll just tell you what I'm doing individually as a person right now, and working with some of my coaching clients, you know, in my own, you know, private work is, I'm going old school. Like, I'm getting up in the morning and writing down you know, what is it, to quote Mary Oliver, right? What is it that I want to do with my one wild and precious life? And doing a little bit of, you know, creative recovery, right? Like what, you know, I sometimes use this as a coaching tactic. Before you turn on that laptop, before you get out the calendar for the day, you know, pen to paper. I mean, like literally pen to paper. What do you want to get done today? And include those things that are so meaningful, right? I want to have a conversation with my partner. I want to walk my daughter to the bus. I want to walk through the garden before I get on my first call. You know, knowing that all those things are in service to the work. I know for myself, coming through the last 16 months or so, it was all about open the laptop, get the work done faster, smarter, quicker. How many more clients can I see? How can we save the business? And, you know, and in that, I got a little bit lost. So I, you know, very tactically starting the day with a piece of paper and a pen before any of the devices turn on, and everything from the stuff that's going to sort of be nutrient rich so that I can show up as the leader I want to be. And then the tactical, right? At the end of the day, I have to have my talking points to, you know, see so-and-so, right? Or I have to have my, you know, my L&D approach, you know, blocked out in these ways. It's going to be a good day. You know, these are the things that I need to focus on. So I go a little old school on that.
I love it.
Go ahead, Jennifer. That's such a great idea, Kelly. That's one of my goals, is to, when I wake up in the morning, to not look at my phone. You know, yeah. Selling my first company, I literally felt beholden to my clients. If a call came in at 4 a.m. or 1 a.m., I would literally answer the call. And then all of a sudden, one day it dawned on me, what if I honored myself first? Somebody once told me that. Honor yourself first, or all else is lost. Whether you have kids, a dog, a cat, whatever obligations they might be, what would honor you when you first wake up? And even if you can only carve out 1 minute or 30 seconds or 5 minutes of no emails, no supporting anybody else, make a gratitude list, do some deep breathing. And that just allows us to be better human beings for ourselves, not for anybody else, for ourselves. And that allows us to be better potential leaders, better potential employees, and people who others want to invest emotionally, you know, in so many different ways. So I love that you brought up that practice, Kelly, because I think it's so important to tie in what we can do. You know, we started off this episode with Brandon sharing that there are a lot of things we can't control in the world, right? You can't control things. But what if you could give yourself permission to control one thing? Maybe it's making a gratitude list every morning, or doing some journaling or deep breathing. And what would that provide for you? And some of us don't even give ourselves permission to do that because we feel we have so many obligations. And I think what I'm present to is the blind spot we have is we don't realize that that 5, 10 seconds, 1 to 3 minutes is going to allow us to be the best version of ourselves, not just in the next few minutes, but throughout the rest of the day.
Oh, absolutely. You're creating anchors for yourself. And I think when we go back to that question of living the career I want to be living, right, we don't want to all of a sudden have set up such structures and what that like when the company does become successful, it's because we're completely burned out and fried to the ground, right? It's that, well, I actually am this way because I did carve out time to sort of, you know, take care of myself first. And, you know, I know there's a lot of conversation out there about that right now, but you know, there's a reason why it's out there, right? It actually does have enormous impact on our lives and our careers and our success professionally.
Well, and to tie in what you and Jennifer are talking about here and what you're doing now, Kelly, I think to invest in yourself is the best way to get others to invest in you. And so rarely we do that. And I see your thumbs up, Jennifer, because I know that resonates for you and Kelly. So it's so perfect that you're at a VC firm and taking that same approach. Which is
I've written that down so many times, right? You got to invest in yourself, right? Please, go ahead.
No, you have to. And you have to use the space. I mean, that's one of my, I think this is the problem is that, you know, especially for me being an independent business person, the space can get filled in with the negativity and the questioning and the doubt and the cycle. And I love what I do for a living because I get to be, again, in service. But, you know, one of the things that this woman, Rhonda Scher, shared on LinkedIn that I love is like, you know, don't look at your phone. Enjoy the silence. Write down your goals. You know, drink a lot of water. You know, my wife got me this. Do more things that make you not want to check your phone. I mean, I think that.
Yes, right?
I love that. Like, it's I love just that. Get into doing the things we love and energize ourselves. And so often those things are the things that energize and inspire others. It's amazing how that works.
It's amazing. When you're in your flow, right? Others want to be in that with you, right? It's there's a magnetism to it. Yeah. No question.
I have to add in something, guys. So I was very inspired. It's funny. I've been resisting being on Clubhouse. I don't know. Are either one of you guys on Clubhouse at all?
I've signed up, but I haven't done anything. So maybe this is my wake-up call.
It is. So it's so interesting. So my business partner and I are doing a proof of concept, and we do this Clubhouse room every Sunday at 11 a.m. And we're like, okay, well, we should probably be out there, you know, interacting with other people. But I'm like, you know, I have the story. I don't have time. So one day I just I have all of my notifications turned off on my phone. So I arbitrarily hop on at 3 p.m. my time, 7 a.m. Pacific time. And there is this group. And this group, I forget what it's called. It's like fitness, failures, and wins. And it was the closest thing to my space. And there were 400 or 500 people in the room and some speakers, Eugene and Krista and a guy named Kojo who hosted. And what I love, and I just really want to honor and respect and offer this to everybody as maybe a game you could play with a colleague or a loved one or a friend, is to share a failure, a win, and something you're committed to every day. Like, I admire them. They're on there every day at 7 a.m. and hundreds of people around the world, they get up on stage and they share just really authentically, shoot, I just ate a whole pizza last night. Epic failure. And by the way, my win is I just am going for a run right now and here's my commitment. And I ask, or I offer this rather, as a potential thing that we all do. Like, what if we all had an accountability buddy where 7 a.m. every day or 8 a.m., whatever works for you, you get on the phone, or even if you send your friend a text, failure, win, here's my commitment. And I love that idea of accountability. And what would that provide for us in our careers, in our purpose, if somebody else out there, if we were just sharing that and communicating that? So I thought that might be a great kind of note to leave everybody with today is, what could we all do? What are baby micro steps that we can take to empower ourselves, empower one another, and fulfill on what we really want, to ride that roller coaster till its very end and just know that we had a blast, whether it was up or down or upside down or backwards, because right now there's been a lot of upside down and backwards, but you just got to go with the flow.
Yeah, and also in there, that's baked in that if you fail or you stumble, you're supposed to. It's hard. And if it isn't hard, then it's not worth doing. And so even on those days where you're falling short, it's you get up again and you go. And to your point, the more you do it, not in isolation, but in connection, the quicker. And you'll get to your goal, right?
100%. And Kelly, I'd love to throw it back to you just for any final thoughts or wisdom before we close out today's show.
Oh no, this is what fills me up. I just want to say thank you. You're going to be on my gratitude list when I pull out pencil and paper. And look, I'm such a believer, and the research supports it, right? Just it's that moment of pause, getting in touch with who you are, what it is. Am I living that career I want to be living? And even just that practice of asking yourself the question, right? We're so busy asking others in this line of work that we're in, but making sure that we're asking ourselves as well. But lots of gratitude. And I wrote down a number of things that I'm going to be looking up. You can see my list. I'm a list maker. So thank you for that. And I look forward to hopefully continuing the conversation.
Thanks, Kel. You're the best, buddy.
Yeah, Kelly, we definitely need to have you back on the show again. There are so many, maybe even end of the month for EQ, because I feel like we barely.
Yeah, I know. I was going to have her on for EQ, and then I just got too excited. That's exactly right in my mind.
We shall meet again. We shall meet again.
We will.
Next month, we'll have to do a more elaborate, in-depth call on emotional intelligence, because it's something we can't talk about enough, and it's only going to help each one of us to be even more ourselves, more authentic, and who we naturally are. Let's embrace our authentic selves and allow one another to feel. That's something I invite you to. Sometimes I know I personally get uncomfortable if somebody gets angry or upset. And what if we gave people permission to be themselves? When I was struggling last week with some anger and just uncertainty in my own life, I had this profound wisdom and insight that hit me like a ton of bricks. What if we could trust that others are doing the best they can, and so are we? What if we could just trust in that? And every time this week that I've been noticing myself getting activated, I just tell myself, trust, you're doing the best you can. And Brandon, Kelly, you out there, you're doing the best you can, and to have that level of trust. So that's my invitation. Let's all go play. Let's play with the trust, trusting ourselves, trusting others, and giving ourselves the grace to know that we're all doing the best we can. I'm Jennifer Cahill. It's been a pleasure having you here today with Brandon Maslin, our incredible guest, Kelly. Kelly, I realize we didn't tell people if they want to connect with you.
Yeah.
Where would they go to do that?
Yeah, find me on LinkedIn. I'm Kelly Sanoa, and I'd love to connect with you that way. I can share my email information through LinkedIn, so that's a great place to find me.
Wonderful. Yeah. So again, Kelly Sanoa has been here with us today, and we are so happy that you've taken the time to listen for however long you were able to tune in. Hopefully you got whatever value it was that you were looking for. And, you know, we love to hear from you. So please email us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. We always love ideas for episodes that would matter to you, that you'd love to hear subjects on. Even guests, we often get recommended different guests you'd love to hear on the show. So please feel free to reach out. And we would also love to have any input on iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. You can rate us, listen to us, share us, and we appreciate your time. So thank you for being here with us and wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.